Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you get a risk-free bet for up to $500. Terms and conditions do apply, so go get the details over at WynnBET.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. When you're sweating out your bets, remember to take some time and chill and grab the perfect cold refreshment, Coors Light. And we're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is home to the best Ball Mania 2 contest where you can win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. So go sign up today at underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. All right, welcome back, D-Gens. It's the DFS and betting show for the Colonial, the Charles Schwab Challenge, the mouthful tournament. It's myself, Boston Capper, the god of golf himself, Steve Shermer. Are you ready, baby? It's after major week. We got to stay sharp. We got to keep making the money. Are we ready?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I scoured the books again, trying to see if they hung any rounds, you know, lines that were just really bad. Maybe they're too scared to put those out because I didn't see any, and I didn't really see a whole lot anyways. I think they're really late rolling out a lot of stuff this week.
Yeah. It's slim pickings out there. I had to go to 3 different books to find 4 matchups that I liked, and it's kind of a stretch for like 2 of them.
We'll talk about that at the end of the show. I think maybe they got their asses handed to him last week. I think maybe they had some fill liability tickets.
I don't know how. Like, even if they, like, there's no way they got crushed with Phil winning. Like,
well, no. I mean, I think of it probably the public started betting Phil heavily live. That's my guess. Just because, yeah. like stupid people. They're like, oh, Phil's gonna win. Like, I got a ticket.
I mean, those stupid people cash tickets.
They did. Stupid people sometimes win. So. Yeah, we'll talk about the betting card later. It's meh. But we'll talk about DFS first. We'll talk about strategies and everything. So I talked a lot about on Sunday.
Yeah,
I gave some comp courses. You know, I kind of tinkered with a couple things. I'll let Boston Capper kind of start first as far as where is his head at before we dive into the DFS slate and the betting card.
Yeah, so I mean, it's kind of like we talked about on Sunday, right? And we were texting this morning. I don't know. I think it was like 9:30 when I was putting my model together because I did not want to work today. and so I was like, nope, this is what I'm doing today. I really do think it's about iron play, obviously. And those small greens, man. What's funny is that last course you gave me, Sheeran.
Jay Sean.
Yeah, so what's funny is that shook up the list a little bit, and I was like, ooh, I like that list better. But yeah. I texted you. I was terrified with the guy who came out number one in my model. But it's the same thing. Yeah, I made, 10% putting, whatever. Like, just accuracy and greens and regulation, man. That's what I'm trying to hit. And I know everybody loves the DK scouting report. The 2K scouting report. Those greens are hard to hold. At least in the video game. Very, very difficult.
I think the rain might make it a little easier this week because it's been pouring since last week. I mean, we were talking on the show about they recently had the NASCAR race over in Austin. And if you saw the highlights of that, they couldn't see shit on that track. And it's continued to rain ever since then. So this is going to be a really soft golf course. It's going to get a lot of wind on Thursday.
Yeah.
It's going to rain all day Friday. Weather kind of lays down a little bit on Saturday, but then Sunday kind of the wind picks up again, might get a little more rain too. Like this might be a Monday finish. Yeah. So we'll see. And Monday finishes usually leads to really unexpected results. So yeah.
But I mean, I think don't you think a soft course is going to just amplify like ball strikers, right? Being able to just put it where they want it, not have to worry about it rolling out. Especially like if you said, if it's rainy as it is and we're doing lift in fucking place, dude, come on. Like,
well, I mean, if the wind is up, it's going to be challenging for everybody. I mean, everybody on Thursday is going to be scrambling. You know, it's going to be a scrambling contest on Thursday, probably a little bit on Friday too. Maybe a little bit on Sunday. Saturday, though, it's going to be a ball striking contest. Kind of like last week where it was really like just crap shit weather the first 2 days. And then they took advantage of the course on Saturday. And then Sunday, you had the guys went out in the morning who took advantage. And then the afternoon, they kind of was a little bit chilly. It might be a little bit like, I mean, not as severe, but in the morning on Sunday, it's supposed to be calm winds and then some wind in the afternoon. So. Yeah. So that's something to watch out for. Maybe target your mutters, the guys who tend to kind of, get it done in not the most optimal conditions. And I'm subtweeting basically one person right now.
We know who you're talking about.
Yes. So I kind of refined a little bit. I gave a list of like 9 courses on Sunday. I kind of refined it a little bit just based on like, I looked a little more into some of the courses. I got rid of Quail Hollow and Bay Hill. And I just looking more of those leaderboards, just like thinking about how that golf course plays. I don't really totally see it, but I added Silverado out in Napa. That's another tree line golf course with some dog legs, and the green and regulation rate is a little higher there, but I'm thinking maybe with some of the softer conditions, guys might be able to hit some more greens. But it's like, it's similar where it's like, it's really hard to hit the fairway there. Guys are hitting out of the rough more, they're cutting dog legs. I also looked at the last 5 years of this tournament, and one thing I did notice, so I looked at where everybody ranked with all the strokes gained stats, off the tee approach, around the green, putting, and then what they did with like driving accuracy, green regulation percentage, scrambling. A couple things stood out. Kind of what we talked about on Sunday, where this is becoming kind of a bomb and gouge golf course. You can kind of see it with how this leaderboard shapes up. Like for the last 4 years, like more and more guys who tend to be towards the top of the strokes gained off the tee list for the week have been in the top 10. So I kind of put myself in the shoes of these guys last year where, they basically hit over all the dog legs. They can do whatever they want. And I put myself in the shoes of them again. And I'm like, okay, well, that strategy basically worked last year. Like just not hitting for the bunkers, like counting dog legs. And I guess you're left with like 3 options off the tee. You can either A, play it straight, down the middle of the fairway towards the bunkers, trying to keep in the fairway for a longer approach shot. Or you can hit over the dog leg, and there's basically 3 consequences. Either you bomb it over the dog leg and then you have a wedge in it from the fairway. You bomb it over the dog leg, but you're in the rough and you cut off 30 yards off the hole and you got 30 yards in, or you're behind a tree. And 2 of those options are still pretty good. I mean, one of them is the best option. You're hitting a wedge into a soft green.
Right.
Second one is, even though you're in the rough, at least you have a clear shot to the green, and you're probably at the same chance of hitting the green in regulation as you do if you're about 30, 40 yards in the middle of the fairway behind.
Yep.
And then the other one is just, well, I'm behind a tree. I can kind of just punch it close to the green, get up and down for par. So I think that mentality, once the genie's out of the bottle with this place, I don't think we're going back to just positional golf. I think it's going to be hit it as far as you can, wherever it goes. And, I look at it more of like, and that's not to say the shorter hitters can't contend here. This golf course hasn't changed, but it kind of opens up to, it's a contest of just like getting to the green regulation, no matter how you do it.
Right.
So whether it's off the tee, whether it's with your actually approach play. And then another thing I noticed too, as far as while the strokes gain around the green number, like it's a little bit all over the place as far as like guys, like where they are. Scrambling in general, just getting up and down from off the green, is one of the most important stats here. It's consistently high. Yep. So just, I think of iron play. I'm not going to discount a bomber. Like I've heard a lot of podcasts this week saying, I'm just going to go for accuracy, short tacticians. And I think they're just missing a big pool of golfers who could do well here. Mm. And then just like, if I see you struggle around the green, like and get up and down, like, especially with that Thursday, forecast and a little bit on Friday too, like like it's you could put yourself out of it on Thursday pretty quick if you just make a mess around the greens. So I think that's at least important, at least especially for a DFS lineup, to make sure you get that 6 of 6, because there's only 120 guys in this field. Yeah. If you don't get 6 of 6, you're done.
Yeah, you're done. Contest. It's just like last week. I mean, even if you got 6 of 6 through, like, I mean, didn't mean shit. I believe I had 1 6 of 6 not cash, which is fucking insane.
Right. So, all right. So, I mean, that's my general strategy. Why don't we go over where the ownership is?
It's pretty concentrated.
It's extremely concentrated. So, yeah. All right. So above $10,000, it's mostly on two guys. Spieth didn't start out with a whole lot of ownership at the end of the week. That he has picked up a lot of steam.
Yeah.
I think some of the projection stat models are basically showing that he has positive EV compared to his outright price. I think guys are like, oh, well, I'm just going to bet big on him. Yeah. Morikawa is the big chalk in this range, just because he finished second in this range. Well, we'll talk about him. It might be warranted, but we'll discuss that, you know, in a little bit. $9,000 range. It's really on three guys. It's on Abe Answer, who my co-host shamed me this morning when I tried to talk myself into him. We'll discuss him a little bit. Corey Connors, who I did not shame you when you talked yourself into. Spoiler alert. And then Joaquin Neiman, he's been kind of popular with a couple circles. He has a top 10 here a couple years ago. So yeah. That's really it. It's in $8,000 range. It is two guys. Well, so there's one big guy up at the top, Charlie Hoffman.
Yeah.
Who I have not heard a single person not name this week.
I know.
And we'll talk about him later. And then right at the bottom, the 8K range, and then I'm going to lump Emiliano Grillo in this too, because he's $7,900. It's five guys who are pretty popular. You got Matt Wallace, you got Cam Tringali, you got Brian Harman, Brant Snedeker, who's actually gained some steam.
Ridiculous.
Yep. And then Emiliano Grillo. They're all between 12 and 20%. So yeah. It seems like everybody's pumping themselves into that range right there. Yeah. And then below that, as far as guys who are double digits, you got Chris Kirk, former winner, Colonial. You know, he pops well on the stat model, 18%. Harold Varner III, 15%, I guess just because he's a good ball striker, tee to green.
Yes, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think that's just the fantasy national effect. And then Kuchar at 10%, and that's it for double digits, besides Grillo.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, usually, it seems like it's balance build week.
It is.
Where, like, you know, low nines and then, like, a couple of those low eight guys.
Mm.
And then they're just skipping pretty much everybody else. And then it's kind of just spread out from there. Under $7,000, you got Tom Hoagie at 6.6%. And I'm going to ask my co-host, why is he popular?
Did he win here?
No, I asked you this 2 weeks ago.
Dude, I forget, man. Come on, dude.
TCU, Texas guy.
Oh,
from Fort Worth.
I should know that. I should know
his home tournament.
I mean, I thought it was from
Fargo, North Dakota.
It's Kokrak's tournament. He's the Texan, sir. He's the Texan.
Yes. Kokrak is the Texan. All right. Michael Thompson, 5%. I don't really know why. Adam Shank, 4.5%. He's playing okay lately.
He's everybody's binky for making
cuts. Did he play well? Byron Nelson, too.
He did. He's been making cuts because that's what he used to do all the time.
There you go. Nick Taylor, 6%. Did he get a podcast bump? I don't get that.
I don't either. Yeah, I don't know.
There must be some. I don't know. Maybe someone made a Pebble Beach connection and then they just said, oh, Nick Taylor. Okay.
He played okay at the Wells.
Dave McCarthy's 4%. He's really underpriced. He's been playing all right the last month, though, so I don't really hate that. And then the big chalk is all the way down to $6,200. Vince Whaley.
I don't understand it. I texted you about that this morning.
We'll talk about it in the $6,000 range. I'll explain to everybody why he's chalk. But I
don't give a shit. Like, it's 8% at $6,200. There is no good outcome.
Well, you know what? I mean, that makes sense. Everybody's gravitating to him. So, like, if you have a bunch of guys who are chalk, like Hoffman, you have, like, all those guys from, like, 82 to 79.
Yes.
You have, like, a lot of guys in the $9,000 range chalk. You're probably really down to the felt right at the end. And then there's Vince Whaley and his tee to green numbers that are really good the last few tournaments, sitting right there at $6,200.
Yeah.
I think that's why.
I mean, I get it. I mean, what? He hasn't missed a cut in 2, 4, 6. He hasn't missed a cut in his last 8. Played good at Valero.
So there you go.
God, dude.
Which
8% is terrible.
But that gravy train has to end at some point, right?
Good God. Yeah, dude. I mean, that is terrifying. 8% at $6,200. That should scare everybody.
Right. So, all right, that's it. why don't we get to the ranges?
All right, let's get at it. All right, so I think why don't you go first on the 10K kid? Let's go.
All right. So, I mean, so we got five guys. We got Jordan Spieth at 11.2. We got Justin Thomas at 11. Kyle Morikawa at 10.5. Patrick Reed at 10.3. And Berger at 10. I mean, let's start with Morikawa. I mean, obviously the reason why he's popular is because he finished second last year. He should have won that tournament. So maybe people are thinking, okay, well, I just want to go back to him again. I can kind of see how if it's really wet conditions and small greens, you can make the comparison to how he did at Harbortown about a month ago, okay, where just an awesome ball striker with his irons, he's going to hit every green regulation, going to stick it close. And then it comes down to just how well he putts, which is usually a disaster, but, you know, we'll see. But, I mean, I can't find a way with DFS to justify him using him, even though I kind of see a path just because it's just the putting numbers are so bad. And I know he can turn around at some point. Like, yep, like it's almost with Morikawa. I want to bet him outright, but his outright price is not even good either. So
yeah, no.
It's just a void. Like, I don't, and I'm not fading him, not using him. I'm just avoiding him. I mean, I can see a world where Spieth goes out and wins this again, obviously. I mean, yeah, he's the best player. Like, he's got really positive regression signs. He gained 2 strokes tee to green at Kiowa, lost half a stroke per round putting. I mean, he has all you want. Great here, great my comp courses I listed, good scrambler, good iron player. But his 18% ownership is really high. I found a couple ways to use them that we'll talk about later. I guess for me, I'm looking at Reed and Berger. You know, Berger with the bounce back. Reed, I just feel like if this is going to be like crappy weather, like he's kind of like a mutter a little bit. You know, he's usually pretty good on bent grass greens. I think that Thursday round might come in handy if everybody's missing greens. He can just kind of get off to a good start. I like him there. And then just I'm afraid about the JT bounce back, but I'm going to live by my creed that if there's wind, if it's just crappy weather, if it's not driving range for JT, I don't want to use him. And I know there's been people talking about how like, oh, well, JT bounces back pretty quick. I mean, where were those events though? Like, were they a good weather condition events? Cause this one is not going to be JT weather. So yeah. I mean, if you want to use him as leverage DFS play, I totally get it. But other than that's the only place I would consider him this week. Other than that, I'm not betting him, not like, you know, no positional props, none of that stuff. So that's my take on the 10K range. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. So I like, I think I texted you, I think it was a flop lag week, Berger. Right? Like maybe we can get a little low ownership on him since he was so chalky last week. Still sitting above 11, but I like him here. Obviously, the, you know, defending champ, I typically don't like to do that. Same thing with you with Reed. Like, if it's going to be a tough course in my brain, that should work. But I feel like that hasn't worked out for us lately. Like, banking on that. Like,
I mean, he did okay last week, right?
He did all right. Like, he made the cut on the number, and that was a miracle in and of itself. And then he had, like, a good Saturday. You know what I mean? I think he got out early on Sunday with mild conditions and did okay.
All right. I mean, this is a shorter course, at least. So, yeah. And he's been good here.
Yeah. No. And I know what we talk about with JT. I mean, just with DFS, like, I mean, I feel like you can't completely fade him if he's only going to come in at 8. That's a watch the ownership thing. It's worth a shot, right? I mean, it's like the same thing like when they hung that bad number and we took him at TPC, right? I'm going to eat the chalk a lot, like in good exposure with my lineups with Morikawa, because I got some different plays down bottom where I'm not chalky. And I think Morikawa has a great chance to win this. His putting terrifies me, but it's the same thing, man. If he doesn't even have to gain strokes. He just has to be fucking average and he can win.
Or at least finish like top four.
Yeah.
Which is a perfectly fine result.
Yeah. Especially with that type of ownership. You know what I mean? Like with that type of ownership, and he wins, and you don't have him, or he top fours, and because he's great with DK scoring, you're fucking toast. You're absolutely right. Toast. So I'm going to decide to eat the chalk with Morikawa this week there, and I'll differentiate somewhere else. But, yeah, I mean, with Spieth, I wish he wasn't so highly owned. I wish his number was better. I love him around the greens. That's a great scrambler. Like, that's my guy. Like that. Like I said, man, like, he's not my guy, but I'm saying that's my guy if I want to. If I need him to get up and down from a weird spot, I have huge faith in Spieth. You know what I mean? Compared to JT, right? Up in that price range. So, yeah, that's where I'm at in this range. So I'm with you. I would say Morikawa and Berger for me.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's pretty short and sweet. I don't really know if there's anything else. So, why don't we move on to a more interesting, compelling $9,000 range.
Yeah, so, but here's the problem with that, right? So I think everybody's doing that. I think everybody's got, I mean, you look at the ownership, right? I mean, you got Answer sitting at close to 20, Neiman at 18, and then everybody else is kind of around the same. The only guy who's not getting it, well, I guess not the only guy. There's two guys not getting any, three, I guess, with Woodland. But I wasn't considering Woodland. Scheffler and M are getting no love. They're under 10%. I feel like everybody, like you said, is starting with the balance build, right? They're starting with Answer. Maybe Will Z, because he's picking up steam, because he's got to win sometime, right? That's the narrative. Great ball striker, right? Bad putter. Like, bad putter. Did you see what he... I think, what hole was that? That he three-putt one day, two-putt the next day, and then two-putt again? Like, but he was on the green in regulation and ended up with a bogey and a double bogey and somehow. Like, it was,
yeah, I felt like that was a couple of times.
Yeah, it was. It was the same fucking hole, too, I think. It was bad. So, I mean, look, this is a very interesting range, but as far as, like, DFS build theory goes, like, I mean, with the ownership the way it is, this is going to be the chalky range. I mean, unless you really, really, really love somebody here, then, I mean, it's all chalk other than Scheffler. So, for me, I'll go with – what kills me is I texted you about Kokrak earlier, and I kind of like that play, but I kind of moved off of it. I like Scheffler, Texas guy, a real Texas guy, right? Real Texas guy?
Mm.
He's a real Texas guy, right?
He went to UT. Yeah, there I don't we know go. If he's, I think he might guy. Be a transplant, but that's yes, fine. It counts.
That counts. That definitely counts. And I love Corey Connors, man. Like I said, like he's chalky as shit. His putting's starting to aggress a little bit, but it's the same thing, right? Like, listen, you don't even have to gain strokes. All you got to do is be even or even a little worse. Like, the way he's hitting his irons is still pure. He came out and he was first round leader for us last week and then just kind of fucking fell apart. The weather conditions aren't going to be as windy moving forward. And if it's going to be soft and he can stick it onto that fucking green within 6 feet, there's still a chance that he can miss it. But I feel a lot better than that, than him at 12. So I like Scotty. I like Corey. I'm fading Answer. I think he's going to end up with even more ownership. And I get why everybody loves him, but this is the same point for me. Like, it's just, he's just the stat darling, right? Like, he pops immediately. And he shot, what did he shoot? 7 under on Sunday. Prior to that, he was garbage. Like, he was not good. Like, he was fine.
Saturday blew up. Sunday was good.
Yeah. And he got the second at the Wells and, you know, whatever. Top five Valspar. I don't know. Whatever. He's made the cut here twice. Nothing to write home about.
Didn't he finish T15 last year in that All-Star field?
Was it 15?
I think he finished pretty high last year. I don't know. When I talk,
yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Yeah, he finished 14. I don't know, man. This is a gut call. I could be fucking dead wrong, right? So this is 100% just gut call. I don't like how much everybody's on him. I thought he'd actually be more owned than he is. I mean, 20% super high, but I thought he'd be coming in at like 25, 26% just based on history, right? Based on how people bet and how people move, I thought the number was going to move. That number's way too short. Makes no sense. I'm gonna fade Answer this week. I know he's popular and it could bite me in the ass, but that's where I'm at.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna tell a little story about Answer, and I understand my co-host's take as far as the popularity. I'm just gonna give a couple names in mind about who has won this tournament before, and then like try and picture Abe answering like that mold. So like Zach Johnson's won this twice.
Yep.
Okay. David Toms won this in 2011. Kevin Na won this 2 years ago. Kevin Kisner won this 4 years ago. Like, isn't Abe answer basically all those players?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, I understand, yeah. Right? Like, I understand why. I don't know. Like I said, this is 100% gut call. The stats do not back me up in this at all, but this is just my gut call on this week.
Yeah, and, like, another thing, too, is, like, the number they hung on him was, like, fishy, like, don't bet this. Please don't bet this. Like, 20-1 answer, really? I bet, like, a lot of people looked at that, and I have heard his name, like, at all this week as far as, like, yeah, I'm betting this.
Yeah.
So that's a little concerning with me, but I also know that he is mushed by the biggest musher in the industry this week.
Yeah,
that and helps. You judged me this morning when I was talking about him. So I well, probably just, am,
I thought he was going to catch more steam. That's why I was like, oh, no way, man. Like, I thought he was going to be, like, the most talked about dude. Like,
I have not heard his name at all this week.
That makes me a little nervous. Yeah. But he's 20% with DFS, so maybe he doesn't even need to be talked about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking about just betting shows, like, outright. It's like, usually there's some crossover, like, I love this guy. I love this guy as an outright. I haven't heard answer as a name, like, a pick to win this week. So, maybe I don't know. And he's like, the number, and the number hasn't moved either. It's like I think it's like 18 to 20.
18. Yeah, it's 18. Where I
yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. Anyways, as far as guys, I'm actually going to play in DFS. I don't know. Maybe I'll even play answer. Like, I don't know. I do like him. There's a lot of things I like about him and that like fits the mold of like what I'm looking for. Like he's been good lately. Like off the like he's even gaining a bunch of strokes off the tee, like a ton of strokes, even though he's short. Like the iron play is awesome. He's like scrambles really well. He's a good putter. I'm always worried to like play these guys that check every box though, and he checks literally every box. So maybe that's a warning sign. There's only one guy I really like that's popular in this range. It's Joaquin Niemann, and like kind of like the same thing. Like, I mean, awesome iron player, great off the tee, and he's long. I know he can cut those dog legs off. So that's a big plus. I think some people, the merit on him is, like, if we're thinking about guys who are really good around the green, like, statistically, like, he's one of the worst scramblers. But when you look at just his, like, pure, like, don't look at strokes gained, look at just, like, can you get up and down? He's actually one of the better ones in this range as far as getting up and down like the percentage. And he's been like his putting number has actually really improved a lot. And he's really good on bent grass. So I like him. And then I like three guys who aren't really all that popular in this range. Like again, this is the second consecutive week. Tony Finau is not really that popular.
I know. That's crazy.
And he did nothing like last week to prove that he shouldn't be good. Like he finished top 10 again.
Yep.
The major. Thank you for cashing that top 10, by the way. I appreciate it. I mean, again, awesome off the tee, awesome over approach play, really good scrambler. Like, I mean, the putting number can be kind of like hit or miss, but he's so good here. And I know he putts well on bank grass that like, and again, no one has mentioned him this week. I have not heard anything about Tony Finau.
I don't hear anything.
Like, this now, is granted, like,
I don't. Yeah, go ahead.
No, like, I mean, I got my intel and I didn't hear his name single like once, unless it was just like in passing.
Right.
So there was even that power rankings by Rob Bolton on PGA Tour, and he just didn't have Tony Finau in his top 15. Like, how? He had Peter Uline in his top 15, not Tony Finau. How the hell does that work?
I have no idea.
So there's that. And then you tried shaming me on Sungjae Im. I'm ignoring you again.
Yeah, that's fine. Again, just ignore me again and light your money on fire. That's fine.
Okay. Well, he's been pretty good. He's been better than what I give him credit for. The iron play has been better. The scrambling's been better. Off the tee's really good. And he did something knucklehead last Sunday. And he put it in the water, but he's still in the mix. I think he's close to putting stuff together. He's been pretty decent. So I like him. And then Woodland's kind of putting things together too. Like, and I was surprised. Like, I heard his name for a little bit for like outrights, but for DFS, he's dirt cheap, or not dirt cheap, but like dirt owned. Then right. Like again, like it's kind of like the Leishman effect, where like I don't know if I totally trust this.
Right.
Like the last time I tried doing this with Woodland, like he burned everybody at Valspar. Is that going to happen again? But like, all of his short term metrics look like Gary Woodland 2019, basically. Like just everything looks good. Just the long term stuff stinks. And maybe that's why, like, you have the fantasy national effect. Like, you just go back the last 50 rounds or 100 rounds with everybody, and Gary Woodland stinks in this range. But if you just shrink it to, like, 20 rounds,
yeah,
it's been good.
Yeah.
So if he was rocking, like, 5% ownership, sign me up. I'm fading Scotty Scheffler in this range.
Okay.
Didn't play well here last year. It's his first time, but he didn't play well. He didn't really play all that great last year here in this tournament. I think he's the worst iron player of this group.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not great. Doesn't really pop a whole lot with the putter. Like he's streaky with the putter, but like not really like that reliable. And then scrambling, he's kind of hit or miss too.
Yeah.
So if like I'm picking nits with some guys,
yeah,
that's probably one. And then Kokrak, just like 20 rounds here, he's only gained like a quarter stroke on the round. Like he had that top 10 last year, but other than that, it just hasn't really been that great. Now, I think he's a better player now.
I think so too, yeah.
But I mean, he's still a mess around the greens. He last week at Kiowa, he lost strokes tee to green, but gained like over a stroke putting. That's never.
His putting's been much better though.
It is. I always worry about seeing something like that. I'm like, right. is that going to flip? Like, right. You know, yeah. But other than that, I mean, you know, Zalatoris, he's great. I have nothing bad to say. Like Corey Connery's great. I have nothing bad to say. They're just really popular. And
yeah.
I can pick little things about them that just like kind of, you know, excluded from me.
Yeah. Fine with that.
All right.
So, listen, before we get into the 8K range, WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in on all your favorite sports teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today, and you'll receive a free special offer of up to a $500 risk-free bet. Terms and conditions do apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. A line I liked at WynnBET, the game has already gone off, but it was the over in the Celtics-Nets game, because I assume the Nets are going to score 150 points on the Celtics. For golf, it's not WynnBET's fault. I just don't like a whole lot this week.
Yeah. No, I we'll talk about the betting card. It's kind of tough sledding this week.
Yeah,
so, it is. Yeah. Right. Not WynnBET's fault. They're just trying to set the best lines they can.
That's right.
All right. $8,000 range. Kind of a weird, ugly range. There's a lot of popularity around Charlie Hoffman. I will save him later. There's a lot of popularity down at the bottom of this range. So you have Streelman, you have Wallace, you have Tringali, and Harmon. And I think of those four, I like Harmon the best. You know, he played like the tee to green game at Kiawa was not the problem. It was his putting that was, he's usually really good putter. That went away for whatever reason. So I like a bounce back for him here. Billy Horschel is playing good. Like, I can't really explain it. Like, it's kind of winning, like he's kind of doing it kind of ugly too. Now I worry a little bit because I think he's like JT Jr. Like if you get like adverse weather conditions, I think he might kind of melt down. I don't totally have that theory like set in stone like I do with JT. It's an inkling with Horschel, but he doesn't have a lot of popularity. So he's still going to find his way into my lineup still. Ryan Palmer, like no one seems to be on him. I don't know what to really make of it. I kind of like him, but I don't really have a great feel of it. It's kind of just like I'm seeing like he hits a lot of greens and he scrambles well and he's a good putter. So I think that combo kind of works. He's flying under the radar. But other than that, like, I mean, I do not like Justin Rose at all this week. I know he popped on your model, but like literally he faked it around Kiawa and he did the same exact thing at the Masters where like it was all putting and he didn't really strike the ball well that much. And then he went out at Valspar and he missed the cut by a mile.
Yep.
And then now we have a Kiawa. He lost about 0.7 strokes per round tee to green. He gained like 3 strokes per round putting. Fade that. So I don't like him. Streelman, I don't like just from the standpoint of like he was in the mix at Kiawa. I think he's overpriced here. Like I like him, but not at $8,300. He hasn't had the best track record at Colonial either.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cameron Tringali, a little scared to fade him just because like I had this inkling of like how I basically finally swore him off after the torment he put me through on that matchup last week.
Yeah.
And he does check a couple boxes, but his history at Colonial is just god awful. Like he was like 0.7 strokes per round.
And he's still chalky, so people aren't terrified of that blow up round.
I know. They're just. I think they look like, oh, well, he shot 2 under in the back. All right, we're good.
Yeah, everything's fine. Everything's
just forget about the PTSD you got on the front nine. Yeah. So I mean, I think the bubble's gonna burst for him pretty soon.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the week. So yeah. Horschel, Palmer, Harmon, the guys like in this range, Rose, Streelman, Tringali, not really digging a whole lot.
So I'm going to trust the model, and it's not even just the model. He's got such a good history here. He's won here. He won here less than 3 years ago, came at top three last year. He either tied for third or solo third, one or the other. I know he's just doing it with his putter, but I feel like the other stuff can come back. And look, man, if it's old guy season with Sink and Phil and all these other guys who are putting up good stuff, like why can't it be him? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like if you're running hot with a putter and then you get a week to go try to fix what you're actually good at, it'll balance out and maybe he won't be draining all the putts, but maybe his irons will get a little better and his scramble will get a little better. And he's not super popular, right? But I'm with you with Billy Ho. It makes me a little worried, but it's not so much. I don't think he's soft. I think he's kind of crazy.
He definitely is crazy.
Yeah. And so I worry about like the meltdown factor with him. And it's not because he's soft. It's because he just hates himself when he does something wrong. I've watched him. And I'm like, oh, that reminds me of me on the golf course when I do something I didn't like. Like he's talking to himself all the time. I kind of really enjoy watching Billy Horschel. I know that's going to piss my boy Tommy off because I know he's a Gator. Billy Horschel is. But I like Billy.
You're on island with him. I can't stand watching Billy Horschel.
Really?
But if he does well in like betting cards for me, I can tolerate it. But yeah, other than that, I find him incredibly irritating.
Why?
He's slow. Like with that rehearsal,
everybody's
like
fucking slow.
Well, he's especially slow when he rehearses like his swing. Like he takes it back four or five times.
I know. I'll give you that.
And then he nudges. He like kind of creeps up on the ball with the putter. Yeah, I find it incredibly irritating to watch.
He does. Everything I hate about Cantlay, Billy Horschel does. But Cantlay has a much more punchable face than Billy Horschel.
And Billy Horschel. Well, Billy Horschel might be a serial killer just like Cantlay too. Allegedly.
Maybe. Yeah, allegedly. Let's put that out there. Jesus. I'm with you. I'm with you. I got to stay away from Hoffman. We can talk about him later. We got to stay away from Hoffman just because. Although it is terrifying to fade him here. But as popular as he is, whatever. It is what it is. I'm with you. Like, nobody's on Palmer. This seems like a week where everybody would be on Palmer and nobody's on him. And like I said, I got to eat chalk up top. So, you know, like Palmer, Rose, Billy Ho, that type of track I'm on. I'm not going to Phil. I'm with you on Streelman and Tringali. I'm fine with Harmon. Harmon's fine. The way I'm building, he's not finding his way into my lineups.
What about your boy Matt Wallace?
I don't trust him.
Why?
I don't know.
Asking the tough questions here.
No, it's more of a feel. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know if he's pressing too hard because he's over here and he's playing more PGA tournaments now. Maybe this one will be a little less stressful. But I mean, look, if it is windy, I like my Brits in the wind. If it's rainy, I mean, he definitely grew up playing in the rain. I did dick around and thought about doing it outright with him. I do have him a matchup later. I just don't trust him for DFS. I just don't. That's it. I just my feel. That's all.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's perfectly reasonable.
Yep. All right. So 7K range. All right. We're not going through all the fucking names of the 7K range. All right. So we already told you guys who the chalky guys were. So for me, like I said, I kind of ate the chalk up top, right? So for 7K. I really like Sergio. I really, really like Sergio. It's kind of the same old man season thing. And he looked real good the other week on fucking Thursday and then just fell the hell apart on Friday. And I really don't know what happened because I watched both rounds and I couldn't figure it out. His irons looked unstoppable Thursday and then he couldn't find it on Friday. But I'll go back with him. He's super low owned. No one is looking at him. Now, I know I texted you earlier that I wasn't going to be on Siwoo, but that was like, I don't know, 12 hours ago at this point. So I'll have a little sprinkle of Siwoo in there.
He showed up with a bag of cash and a dead body in the trunk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's how it works. Look, he's still a great iron player.
Allegedly, by the way.
Allegedly. Exactly. Look, he's still a great iron player and whatever. He's got an okay, nothing, no great history here. And I like Villegas again. I don't know what it is with this dude. So here's the thing. I think what might have happened is I know his backstory and I don't know, man. Like that's a guy who I literally, anytime I see his name on the leaderboard, I'm rooting for that guy. I am. That's it. Like that. And so I think that is creeping into my DFS and my betting. So I don't know. Maybe I need to lay off a little bit, but I lied. Like his backstory was, hit, you know, whatever, close to home, and it's somebody who I really want to see succeed. What do you think about Doc Redman?
I've heard people try and justify him this week. I mean, he played really well at TD Green for the first time in a while.
Yeah,
last week. What's his ownership though?
It was going to be high. I
didn't
even look.
I think it's back to like It's 7.1. That's not awful.
That's not awful, but that's still a lot for him. Like, I was hoping he'd be a little.
I believe in the kid's talent.
Me too. That's why I asked, right? Because that was a guy I wrote. I think he's on every single one of my year-long fantasy teams.
Yeah, I think he's on one of those too. I can see it if he's really back. Yeah, like go Doc Redman. Like, and it. Listen,
I'd rather be early than late.
Here's another thing. Like, how many like DFS lineups like you filling out every week? You can't fit Doc Redman in a couple of them just to see.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you could do that. Or like a top 20 bet or something with Doc. I can see that. Yeah, I don't hate that pick.
Yeah. All right. Good. All right. So.
All right.
I guess there's no real fades in here. Although, oh shit, his ownership was way lower than I thought. But I'm fading HV3. I like him a lot. I'll talk about him later as far as like how I like to root for him. But 15% HV3. And I think, you know me, I don't listen to all the podcasts. I usually listen to like 1.5 while I'm trying to work. So I half listen to everything. Somebody, I don't remember which podcast it was, but they said HV3 because he's from Texas. And I was like, oh no, is someone trying to take my shtick? He is not from fucking Texas. Nope. I was like, what the fuck?
I don't know. We'll have a Pollock Poodle fact check that later, though. So. Yeah, the HV3 thing, it's the fantasy national effect of I want to look for a good ball striker. Oh, there's Harold Varner III. I'm going to take him without doing any thought.
Yeah.
So there's no real reason behind it. Like his history at Colonials, like it's okay. Like, I mean, it's all just ball striking and. That's really about it. So, and speaking from experience, as a guy who has used HP3 a lot, he burns it when he's popular. Yep. So, caution, you know, be careful. As far as guys I like, I mean, if it's going to be really windy on Thursday, like, I think you just have to use Matt Jones and Brandon Grace. Like, I mean, Matt Jones, good in the wind. Like, I think he might get off to a really good start on Thursday. You know, kind of keep together for Friday, and then, you know, we'll see from there. I mean, his course history isn't all that great, but really good. He's one of the best guys at getting up and down for par. He's a good putter. Like, that's really going to come in handy on Thursday. He hits a lot of greens of regulation, too, even if, like, the strokes gain numbers don't reflect it. So I'm cool with him. Russell Knox is a guy I've started to like a lot this week. You know, he pops up in kind of, like, my comp courses model I mentioned, like Shayshon. Like a lot of guys who do real Colonial do really well at Shayshon. I mean, he's won there before. He's done really well at this tournament too. I think he has 4 top 30 finishes in his last 5, including a T8 in 2017 or 2019. I think it's the Kevin Na year was 2019. So like him there. I mean, like, listen, he hits a ton of greens of regulation. He's a great scrambler. So, I mean, the putting numbers are a concern, but I've also seen a lot of guys, like, struggle with putters this year. It comes out with wins, like Morikawa, JT, Cage Lee a couple weeks ago. Why not Russell Knox? So, you know, I mean, like, I think Brant Snedeker is kind of popular. Like, I'm going back up to the range. Snedeker's gained some popularity. I don't really like that a whole lot, but he's just playing well lately. Like he was missing a whole lot of cuts like for a while, and then something clicked, I think, at TPC San Antonio, I want to say. And ever since then, he's made 4 straight cuts. Good history Colonial, like good at those like little comp courses that I mentioned on Sunday. You know, the irons have been pretty good lately, the scrambling's been pretty good lately, the putting's been pretty good with Snedeker lately. I know he's 12%, but I don't hate Snedeker this week. And then my last guy I really like here, like really like. Couple weeks ago, he was my big short, and that seemed to piss a lot of people off. And I am totally back into great Doug Ghim level, like zone right here. Like he, like the 8% ownership, I've totally forgotten Doug Ghim. That's where I like my Doug Ghim. So, and I made a case for this in my column this week. Like there was this narrative at the Byron Nelson about, oh, well, he's just so good putting on bent grass. The putting's just going to get fixed. It's fine. And it didn't. It was awful that week. And now everybody's off him. And now I'm like my contrarian mind saying, well, what if that take was actually right and that was a fluke? We don't know what he's been doing for the last 2 weeks. Maybe he found arm lock. Maybe he got with his coach and figured things out. Like maybe he's going to turn around this week. And like the ball striking numbers with Doug Ghim are there.
Oh, yeah.
Why not Doug Ghim if he's not popular? When I've loved him ever since last fall. Everyone else has loved him since last fall, and then all of a sudden he had one bad tournament, we burn everybody, and now they're off him. I don't know. I kind of like Doug Ghim this week.
Listen, I don't hate it. Like you said, like he's not chalky.
No, it's like 7%. Yeah.
So yeah,
that would be. It was like 22 weeks ago.
Yeah. It was ridiculous. but yeah, Andy was higher priced and chalk. Like that was red. I think we did good to fade him that week. But yeah, listen, I'm with you on that. I'm with you with Gim. I like it. Yeah, it's crazy. He's only got 1% more ownership than Redmond. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a little more comfortable with Gim.
Yeah, so we had a couple guys in the Slack channel request some names. Keith Mitchell and Kuchar was also in the seventh range. I think that's it for the seven. So, all right. So you have a take on Keith Mitchell. What do you think?
No.
Yeah, like, me neither.
Yeah, no. No. I don't know, man. I like him on Bermuda grads. That's when he's always played well. He kind of popped. I don't even remember what tournament it was, but he was playing real well. It wasn't even that long ago. It was like less than a month ago. And I was like, fucking Keith, what the hell's going on? And then of course he faded on Saturday and Sunday. He's too wild off the tee, man. In these tight trees, like he's going to be behind a tree all day.
Well, I think he can hit over the,
You think he's long enough to hit over it?
Oh yeah. He definitely is a bomber, man. That's all he does. Okay. The problem is, like, even at, like, those other bomber golf courses, he hasn't gone well for him. Like, it's gone well at Quill Hollow, but other than that, though, it hasn't gone great. But, like he's good. You're right. On the Bermudas, he's got, like, the shorter, like, Bermuda tracks, kind of.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's great off the tee, but, like, the scrambling numbers are a mess. Like, I don't really trust the putter. Kuchar, I don't mind either. Like, if I like Kuchar, too.
Yeah, he's Kuchar at all. We talked about it. I would just go back to your fucking old putter, please.
Yeah, you texted me this. So he lost a billion strokes putting at Kiowa,
so bad.
But the two tournaments before that were like he was in the middle of the partnership. He actually was fine. It might be just a fluke with him. He's just gonna have a bounce back. So I don't hate them. I don't hate that either. So,
and that's an old guy. That's an old guy, and you can tag it around all right, here.
Well, speaking of an old guy, what about Pat Perez?
I like Pat Perez this week.
I kind of like Pat Perez too. We'll talk about him later. I like Pat Perez.
Yeah, I like Pat Perez this week. But there's another guy. You're always going to be wary of the withdrawal. You don't know what he's doing the night before, and he could just wake up and be like, nah, I'm good. Not playing.
Yeah, if he wakes up and sees it raining, that might not be great.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like that's a legit concern with that.
Just let that be Saturday after he beats a guy I have in a matchup again. So.
Yeah, well, not for your DFS lineup. That kills it.
Yeah, so. That's true. Yeah. But, you know, whatever. That's the risk you take.
That's right.
All right. Anything else in this range? I don't really have anything else.
Nah. Good.
Okay.
Good
this range. All right. Let's move down to 6,000-hour range.
Yeah. There's not many things I like down here. I like ZJ only because he's less than three. Obviously, a fucking great history here. I know his form is absolute dog shit right now. I believe he was first round leader at some point in the past 2 or 3 months. I'm pretty sure I was like, are you fucking kidding me, Zach Johnson? And I think he actually missed the cut after he was first round leader. I believe that happened within the last 2 months. Might be three. I'm very bad with times. But yeah, I'm fine with ZJ. I mean, really down here, I'm definitely avoiding all the chalk. Like I get burned so much. You know what I like is Scott Piercy.
Okay. No, I don't hate that. I mean, he's playing
alternate.
Well, you know what? His last tournament, well, it was Scott Piercy stuff. It's gain a stroke tee to green, losing two putting.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, like whatever. If he's going to be scrambling and everybody is going to be, you know, whatever. Like I like Piercy, late ad, right? Like he took whoever the second withdrawals place was. He's got a pretty decent history here. It's not bad.
Okay.
Yeah, wait, where was it at?
It's of everybody in this range, it's acceptable. I mean, it's not stellar on paper, but it's acceptable for guys.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got one top 10 in the last four. Yeah. Just pass over that miscut. And then the top 20, it's fine. For 6,800. And then I'll go back to my Binky when I'm trying to get a 6-6 through. It's always Adam Shank for me. What kills me is like he had the longest streak of like made cuts or something like that. And then it just kind of went to shit for a little bit, but he seems like he's playing a little better. I know he missed a cut at the Wells Fargo, but whatever, you know, a couple top 30s, 35 at the Byron Nelson, like it's fine. Like I'm fine with him at 6,500.
Okay. All right. I mean, there's a lot of crap down here.
Yes.
So I try to keep it simple. Do you have relatively okay history here at Colonial?
Yep.
Or do you hit a lot of greens and are you a decent scrambler? So, I'm going to make one small exception because he is his history here is not very good, but I saw one of the guys we like fading this week include him as his big fade of the week, and it's Wyndham Clark.
Oh,
and he didn't really give an explanation why. Like, first of all, it's your big fade. He's 200-1. Okay.
That's right. I forgot you posted
the bold stand. He tried making an explanation that I think it was an inside joke. I didn't really quite get what he was doing, but I think the fact that he did that means I think Wyndham Clark is just going to do well this week. So
yeah, listen, I'm actually definitely, because it was funny. I was looking at him, and his history's fine here. And
he lost like a shot and a half, and is like one.
I'm not worried about the shot. I'm worried about his finishes when I look at course history with guys like this. Like, okay.
That means he made a cut. It was like T60.
That wasn't that bad. Maybe I was thinking something else.
Yeah, it's okay. Dark blue on my page.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Regardless, I mean, he played okay at Byron Nelson first 2 days. Didn't go so well for him. I mean, he's just an awesome scrambler. Like, his greens regulation rates are okay, so I don't mind that. Hoosiers mentioned Brian Stewart as a potential like cheap play. I don't mind that either.
I don't mind that.
Yeah, no. Listen, like, hits a lot of greens, good scrambler, good putter. His course history is decent.
Old guy.
Know, so I'll take that. Andrew Putnam's another guy. Same old. Like, you know, his ball straight, like, he's hitting his irons a little low lately. Hits a lot of greens, good scrambler. Good history here, too. Checks that box. Chase Seifert's never played here, but, like, now it's, like, low-owned Chase Seifert. Like, it seems like all the steam that was on Chase Seifert before is now gone to Vince Whaley. And Seifert's, like, 2% now. And, like, I mean, nothing's really changed. Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he missed a cut and then, like, everyone off him. But, like, I mean, short-term numbers, like, off the tees, gained a quarter stroke. Approach gained about 0.2. He hits 67% of the green. He gets up and down for par off the green at about 61% clip. That's a good range here. You know, decent putting numbers. Like, yeah, I'm fine with that. And then Bryce Garnett's like kind of same old, like $6,200. He's a pivot off chalk Vince Whaley. Ugh. Can't believe I just said that. But again, like, just hits a lot of greens, like, good scrambling numbers. I know it's not like a Wyndham course for him, or like, it's not a coastal course, but I don't know. It's along a river, so I guess it's technically coastal, right?
Yeah, sure.
That's the narrative I can spin,
I guess. So. I mean,
so that's that. I going back to Zach Johnson, though.
Yeah.
So, listen,
it's not like I'm in fucking love with him.
I mean, like, he's been to Zach Johnson courses lately, like Heritage, and he missed the cut by a mile there. His recent Kelowna history has actually not been very good. I think it's two missed cuts, a T60 and a T43.
Okay.
So, I mean, he's definitely been on, like, he was doing really well the end of last year, and ever since that, it's like a straight downhill. Like, and it's all putting lately. So I don't know. I mean, like, I think the only chance for him is like rekindling good feelings here, which he hasn't had in 4 years.
Yeah.
Or just he gains like a billion strokes putting. He pulls a Justin Rose, basically, which he could do. But I don't really want to take that chance on him. And there's a way I can kind of fade his failure later.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, before we get to the your big short and the one and done. Listen, do you guys ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? Listen, I feel like I'm always on. I'm in sales, so I do this all day, and then I come home, do this, and I get to deal with the kids and everything else. And listen, you definitely need a moment to relax, right? And Coors Light is the way to do it. Listen, we got Memorial Day coming up. I know I'm trying out to get out to 18. Steve already told me he's getting out tomorrow, I think he said. There is nothing better than that first beer in the morning, right? Whether it is at 9 a.m., 7 a.m. tee time, it's like airport rules on the golf course, right? You can crack a beer and nobody even looks at you, right? Get that nice, cool beer in your mouth right before you tee off, man. It's a great feeling. So I love that. And there's only one beer that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when the beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's a mountain cold refreshment made to chill. So Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate responsibly.
Okay.
Yep.
Let's go to the big short then.
Let's do it. Now, you had a bold one last week that smoked it. So let's go. Let's follow it up strong.
So it's time for it's story time with Steve Shermer. And you know the story because I've told you all day with the text message today, but the listeners don't. So this is my process every week. I update my spreadsheet every Monday morning with the latest strokes gained data. I recompute everybody's 50 strokes last 50 rounds. I recompute everybody's last 16. Get my little dashboard up, which my co-host said is absolutely beautiful. That's one of the highest compliments I've ever received.
It's gorgeous.
It really is. And it helps me pick out like the landscape just like from a high level, just what this field's going to be. And then I go to the betting board. I found a book. I found a couple prices I like. I just snap bet it. Like, this is Monday morning. Well, no, it was Monday afternoon at this point. I didn't listen to anything. I hadn't read anything. Like, I don't. Like, I did my NCL after that, but I saw some price. I'm like, well, that's wrong. That's probably going to move. So I found a Charlie Hoffman 55-1. Great price. Happy with that. Like, checks all the boxes for me. Found an Emiliano Grillo 70-1. Happy with it. You know, he finished third, like, a couple years ago. He does well as Shay Sean. Like, I added Silverado to my little model there, and he won there. Like, the price, we're good. And it seemed like everybody joined me after that because I have not heard, read anything this week that's not mentioned Emiliano Grillo or Charlie Hoffman. And what did we talk about last week, boys and girls? When there is somebody 30-50 or 60-1 and they're talking about like they're the Messiah, something bad is probably going to be really happening. So this is a first. I have two big shorts this week.
Oh boy.
They're Charlie Hoffman and they're Emiliano Grillo. One of them is going to miss the cut. I don't know who it is, but you can go on your books and you actually bet both, by the way, if you want to do that. And I think neither of them cracked the top 40. I've seen this movie before. And listen, if they go out and win this tournament, hey, I got outrights on them. So I'm basically hedging here. But you don't right now. You're listening to this. You don't know what you're doing. The numbers right now, I think for Hoffman, it's like 35-1 right now. Grillo's down like 50.
Yeah.
Like that's no. Those are bad numbers.
Yeah.
And it's been steamed the hell. Everyone is on them this week. It just like I can't with good faith recommend them and tell you to go down the path I did. So Hoffman and Grillo are my big shorts this week.
I like it. I absolutely like it. Yeah, listen, I'm with you. I bet Connors first thing Monday morning. That was the first thing I texted you. And then I jumped on with you with Hoffman. But I did stay away from Grillo. I said, nah, I'm just passing on him.
Yeah, you call that gross.
Yeah.
So, gross. Yeah. And now I wish I could take that bet back. But, you know, it is what it is.
All right, my least favorite segment. What do we got for one of them?
Oh, it's my favorite segment. Who not to pick?
Yeah, for real.
All right. So why don't we run through this field? Who'd you have last week, by the way?
Oh, Hovland. Hovland.
Hovland?
Yeah.
Whatever. Good job. All right. So here are the guys in this field this week that you have taken. Yeah, so Ryan Palmer's off the board. Scheffler's off the board. Berger's off the board. Sungjae's off the board. Kokrak's off the board. Finau's off the board. JT is off the board. Corey Connors is off the board. And that's it.
What did I take Connors in? What fuck did I take?
Connors at the Valspar, and that was like his worst tournament he's had in like a month. Man, you are good.
Oh, you really are good. I'm going to take answer.
You're joining the Ander curse.
No, I can't do that now because I'm doing that on purpose. That doesn't count when I do that.
Well, you know what? Maybe the mushing powers of you two combined will like cancel each other out, and maybe the male to like you know bet them outright. Come on, do it.
No. Because I know what my brain just told me, and no, that's not right. That's not how I do it. All right. So, oh Jesus. So I still got Spieth. I still got Maury. Neiman. Mm-hmm. Man, that's pretty much it. I'm not playing fucking Rose. I'm not playing Billy Ho when I got these other guys going. So, Texas course, scrambling. I don't want to take the I don't want to take the top of the board. I'll go Morikawa.
You don't want to take the top of the board. I'll take Morikawa.
Yeah, well, I meant literally the top of the board. I was looking.
Oh, okay. I was looking. You didn't want to be forced into it.
Right. And I feel like I don't remember who I did that with, but I mushed them too. Like, whatever. Like, I'm going to, I feel bad, but sorry, Maury.
All right. Poor Morikawa is going to lose 15 stroke putting over two rounds. It's going to be a record. All right. So I haven't take, I don't know. This is going to be live on the air who I decide. I haven't take Spieth. I haven't taken JT. I haven't taken Reed. I haven't taken Answer, but I'm not going to do that. I haven't taken I've taken Scheffler.
I've taken Finau.
I have taken Finau. Finau got me a second place finish at Torrey, but he split it with like eight guys. So
yeah, whatever, dude. That was that's where it started going downhill for me when I talked myself out of Finau on the fucking show, and I was like, "Well, you can take him, and I'll take somebody else." Fucking idiots.
Yeah. Ever since then, it's not been good. I'm not taking Corey Connors. I'm not taking Neiman. I'm not taking Woodland. I have taken Sungjae.
Is Woodland qualifies for the U.S. Open, right?
Yeah. Well, oh, no. Yeah, Woodland's already in the U.S. Open.
Okay.
So that doesn't matter.
Well, no. I'm just thinking like maybe that's where you could use Woodland to make sure he's
out. Oh, at Torrey? No, it's going to be big boy that week.
I don't know, man. Okay.
All right. For me, it's down to Connors and Woodland. And you know what? I'm going to make my buddy Jay happy, who always thinks that Gary Woodland looks like Bertier from Remember the Titans. So I'm going to take Bertier and Gary Woodland, and I'm hoping it's a strong side Bertier and not gets T-boned by a drunk driver and ends up in the hospital with Gary Woodland this week. So
yeah, that would not be great. Metaphorically or in real life.
No, that wouldn't be. So Gary Woodland, please don't get in a car accident. You're my one dumb pick.
All right. All right, so the betting card. So that's basically all we got left. This is the betting card. And this is kind of short this week. Listen, I just want to talk about Underdog Fantasy. If you haven't played over at Underdog Fantasy, you got to check it out. Their fantasy best ball tournaments are some of the best around. The boys over at the Mothership are doing, I feel like, a podcast or two a day, these fucking things, as much as they hit in my feed, including their Best Ball Mania 2 tournament where you can win $1 million. Plus, you can play a number of games involving parlaying player props for the MLB, the NBA, and more. They also have a special NBA playoffs best ball tournament coming up as well. So go to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN. And don't forget to enter their Best Ball Mania 2 tournament for your chance to win $1 million. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. So okay. I don't do the NBA playoffs, but I'm assuming since they've already started, maybe that's done. I don't know how that works.
I don't know either. Okay. So. All right. Well, let's talk about the betting card. First round leader leans. It's going to be windy for everybody on Thursday. So there's no wave split to think of there.
It gets worse in the afternoon, though.
No, not what I'm seeing. I am seeing.
Where are you looking? Where do you
win? Winfinder.com. Oh, I am seeing 7 a.m., 13 to 26. And then at 4 p.m., 17 to 21. It's the same for everybody.
All right. I mean, look, I'm going to go with the morning tee times. Only a couple guys in the afternoon, just because typically it's just easier playing conditions in the morning, regardless, even if the wind's kicking. So if it's 11 to 26, it's going to be more towards the 11 side in theory, and it's going to get worse as the day goes on. It's going to get hotter as the day goes on. It's going to dry out a little more, so it's going to run out a little more. Like I'm going to stick with the morning side. Do you have a 1 or 10 preference?
I want to start on 10 because one too has the horrible horseshoe right out of the gate.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you on that.
It's kind of like a Honda where you want to start on 1 and avoid the bear trap.
Yep.
So start on 10 in the morning. So, and I'm fine with the morning just based on principle. Who knows? Maybe the weather report's wrong. They've been wrong a couple times and screwed me multiple times the past 3 weeks.
I know.
So yeah, maybe the weather report's wrong. It's actually dead calm in the morning. If you want to take that chance, anybody going off on 10 in the morning is good with me.
Yeah. Do you got anybody? You got anybody want to?
I haven't even looked at tee times, to be honest.
All right, so going off on 10, we got HV3, Kirk, Siwoo, Fratelli, going off on 10 in the morning. Those are the ones that I highlighted so far.
Is the better wave going off on 10 in the morning?
No,
they're going off on 1. So yeah, feature group. Okay, feature group is gonna be great this week then.
Yeah, and so with the feature groups, I feel like the better ones in the fucking afternoon, actually. They got they got Billy Ho together with
I know JT's in the afternoon, and that
yeah, sealed, JT, that's, Billy Ho, Morikawa.
Yeah, that sealed the deal. I'm like, no chance on JT then.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for real. I didn't even think of that. But like, I feel like all the bigger names, not all of them, but I feel like the afternoon guys got some more star power to them.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, the best grouping is just quick scroll. I mean, Sanjay's with Todd and Perez. Oh God, get going off on 10 is Mickelson, Spieth, and Berger. So, and then 10 is Reed, Neiman, and Rose. So that's got to be the two feature groups.
Oh, in the morning.
The morning, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I was talking about. Like, usually they put the better guys over on one side, and then just the junk players on.
Right. But I was thinking, just thinking overall, I think better guys are going
off. All right, well then there's sexier names than going off on 10 in the morning. You're not taking, like, I don't know, like Richie Wierenski, or actually that's a bad example, like,
right,
I don't know, Brian, you're not taking Brian Gay going off on 10.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So I was looking, but the thing with first round leader for me is I love the fucking big number. So like, I still remember the JT one we hit, and it was the least exciting fucking thing that I have ever hit. Like, it was like, I don't know, 160-1 or whatever, and like, I don't know, whatever. Fucking, that's not sexy, man.
Yeah. All right. So that's our first round leader leans. How about top tens? Got any?
No.
All right. Let me get a disclaimer. Positional props.
Garbage.
This week, the pricing is awful. I think the same thing happened at Heritage too. Like, for whatever reason, it's just, like, I mean, like Abe Answers top 10 is like +175. Like, what are we doing here? So, I mean, like, I'll get to, so another guy I also snapped bet earlier, I got a good number on, was Joaquin Neiman at 40.
Oh, yeah. But
then he got talked up a lot. So I'm not thinking that's good, but I think he's going to finish top 10. I like him. I got him a +250 for a top 10. I didn't hate that. I thought that was a reasonable price for that. Gary Woodland, top 10, a 4-1. I like that too. I don't have a piece of Patrick Reed yet. I don't think he's going to win.
Yeah, I don't think
I think, like, his top 10, like, I'm going to shop around the price a little bit on the top 10. Like, it's around like 2-1 right now. I'm going to try and find a little better price than that. I might just get that. And so I didn't like any of the matchups he was on either. Like, he's part of me, it's like Berger, like JT Spieth. Like, I don't really want to do that. So, I'll probably end up on like a Patrick Reed top 10. And, but I'm not really going much deeper in that, because like the guys between like 30 and like 80 are so volatile. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, all right. Yeah. Any top 20s?
No, they're even fucking worse. Like, you know me, man. Like, I'll look at some long shots for these type of things just to make it, like, no, fuck no. Like, I'm out. I'm out on the positional. I'm telling you, it's fucking light this week, man. It's going to be my typical 12 to, probably 10 to 14 first round leaders, bunch of matchups. I got two cute miscut bets. And other than that, just outrights right now.
Okay. All right, so my article this week, I put a couple top 20 guys. I haven't put anything down yet, but I'm looking around because I don't like the pricing right now. So guys I put down, like, for top 20, potentially Brant Snedeker, Brandon Grace, Joel Damon, Taylor Gooch, Lucas Glover, CT Pan, your boy Camilo Vajegas. I actually don't mind that pick. He pops a little bit in some things I've done this week.
Right.
Rory Sabatini is just a blind hope and a prayer that he just is really good here, because everything else is awful, but that's like 5-1 you can find him on. Pat Perez, Andrew Putnam, going back to, well, Troy Merritt probably cashed top 20 for me a couple weeks ago. Going to try it again this week. Brian Stewart, Bryce Garnett, Chase Seifert, they're hanging around like 8-1, 10-1. But okay. Again, like sometimes you find like 7-1, 8-1 guys are like really good. Like this week, just junk. Yeah. So yeah. I'm still considering what I want to do, but like those are guys I feel relatively good about putting a bet down for a top 20. If you get a good price on one of those, just go hit it and, you know, see what happens.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so you got any miscut props, or is it just me?
Oh, I only have one.
All right, who you got?
It's Justin Rose fading that.
He cocksucker.
I'm doing the same thing that happened at Valspar. Like, listen, like, it's a simple formula. You gain a bunch of strokes putting, you lose a tee to green, then you play the next week. Well, what usually happens? I don't know. Usually you miss the week.
I don't even trust fucking stats, Steve. And now, like, I'm...
How do you not trust stats?
I don't... It's not,
you're in,
I don't.
You're in finance, man.
I know. Listen, it's not that I don't trust stats. It's that I like to couple the stats with the gut, right? So... I don't just blindly follow the stats. And now this fucking guy is one or two in my model, and you're crushing me. You're betting him to miss the cut. God damn it.
Yeah, it's 3-1, man. You go against the grain. I'm not right about everything, obviously.
Oh, I'm aware.
Made a lot of bad taste on this podcast.
I'm aware. I know. What happens, though, then, like, I feel like I'm like, fine, whatever. Sneaky, kind of low owned, like, whatever. I'm fine with it based on what I think is going to happen on the golf tournament.
What did I tell you last Sunday, by the way? You got to trust your gut more, okay?
If
you have a gut feeling about Justin Rose, go with it. All right. If you disagree with this nerdy account pencil, paper pusher over here, fine. That's perfectly okay. I try to give the best information I can. You don't have to follow my best. I'm not a tout. I don't get paid for my picks.
No.
All right. So let's see. If you think I'm wrong on Justin Rose,
yeah, fuck it.
Fine. Whatever.
But here's the deal. Like, here's what happens. Like, Wednesday night when I'm like tinkering with my fucking lineups, I'm like, your voice creeps into my head. Miss Cat. Okay. Yes, Kat.
How about my nasally Rochester accent? How about I leave you with this sentence? All right. Yeah. Listen, I think I usually have a good idea what happens this tournament. I try and get the best information. At the end of the day, I don't fucking know what's going to happen. Justin Rose might end up winning this thing.
Yeah.
I try to make an educated guess because we have zero idea what's going through these guys' heads during the week. We have zero idea what club changes they're making, what they're doing with the driving range, where their headspace is at, what's going on off the course. There's so much we don't know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the only thing we can go on is what happened last week, which might be completely irrelevant this week. So which if you have a feel about Justin Rose, for God's sakes, go with it.
Which is why it's awesome. This is why we do what we do. My miscuts are answer, because I decided to play my flag.
There we go.
Plus 400, whatever, throw $50 on that.
I actually don't hate that.
Yeah, whatever. Like super
just,
like
just fade just full embracing the money.
Yeah, whatever. Like, let's go. And then Griot. I got him at plus 300. I think he's down like plus 200 now at this point.
Yeah, like, that's actually not bad.
Yeah. So those are my only two misses.
I might jump on Griot and Hoffman too.
Just to hedge out whatever you put down for the outright.
I mean, I'm in my big short. I might as well go all the way.
Yeah, fuck it, man. Yeah, you got to embrace it. Say it with your chest, Steve. Say it with your chest.
All right. They're going to miss the cut.
That's right. All right. So right now I only have four outrights, man. That's okay.
I have a little more because I made the mistake on Monday.
So before, yeah, like,
but I have five I'm going to give out that I feel pretty good about.
Yeah, that's fine. And we're going to give out three of the same, I guess. I got Connors. We talked about Sergio last night. So I got Connors. I got him at 28. I think he's down to 25 now. You got a better number on Sergio. I got him at 660. You got him at what? 800?
I got him at 80.
Yeah. And then Hoffman, you got him at 55. I got him at 50. And I did put down a bet on Finau today at 22.
Okay. All right. So in full disclosure, I got a Neiman at 40. I got a Hoffman at 55. I agree with 70. I'm not giving it out because I just think those guys are just it's a golf industry bet right now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say why they're great because you probably heard on other podcasts.
Yeah.
Go listen to them. Whatever. I would say the same thing about all of them. I have a bad feeling the fact that everybody's on them.
Yeah.
But there are five. No one's really talking about them. And I like being in this corner.
Yeah, me too.
And I talk about this on my column this week. We have seen the following things happen so far in the PGA Tour. We have seen Jordan Spieth rise from the dead to become just one of the best players on the planet again after looking completely dead for 18 months. That happened. We saw Stuart Sink win two times on the PGA Tour this year. Twice. I think he's the only multiple winner on the PGA Tour this year. Or no, it's him and Bryson. He's the only multiple winners. Go figure. I have seen Colin Morikawa lose 20 strokes putting over 2 weeks and then gain four to win concession. I've seen JT struggle with the putter, like, and then just win the players. I saw Cage Lee lose 0.8 strokes per round over his last like 20 rounds and then win a putting contest at the Byron Nelson. And then I've seen Phil Mickelson win a goddamn major. Oh, and I've seen Hideki Matsuyama, who's always a bridesmaid, win the Masters.
Can't forget that.
Literally anything is possible in golf.
How screwed is the Open, by the way, to try to follow these last two majors up?
What do you mean?
They're screwed. Like as far as like the storylines and like the awesomeness of it, like, so, like what's going to happen?
Like, oh, they'll find it. I mean, the U.S. Open is like they'll play up Tiger's like 2008 storyline. Like, that's going to be a good major. The U.S. Open is usually always compelling.
right, we'll see.
So that's good. And then it's the first Open in 2 years. Like, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's the first time we see the links.
I'm just saying the bar is set super high is all I'm saying.
They'll be fine. I'm sure they'll figure it out. So, all right, regardless.
Sorry.
So literally anything is possible. So why not Tony Finau just win this week?
Yeah.
Like, listen, like, I don't know why he hasn't been mentioned, other than the fact that he just is Tony Finau. He just doesn't win. But, like, really good at Colonial. Great those comp courses I gave out. TD3 numbers look great. Irons look great. Scrambling looks great. Putting can be hit or miss. But no one's talking about it. He's 22. He's not even chalky in DFS either. Like, what's going on here? So,
weird.
Like, can we just agree? He's going to win at some point.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Why not this week? So, I like him. You don't like the Sungjae Im pick. I got a feeling about him. Like, again, like a guy who just not as really talked about. I like how some of the pieces are coming together with his game. Like, maybe this is the week. Who knows? And then, like, kind of in the same vein, it's like, I've seen guys just be horrific putters and then just randomly win. Like, I saw the Sergio 80-1 number. Former winner here. The ball strike numbers are awesome. And, like, it literally has been. He has shot himself in the foot on Friday the last few times he missed the cut.
Yep.
I don't know. That could get turned around. I mentioned I was really high on Russell Knox earlier at 100-1. Well, you know, like, he's been good here. Like, tee to green has been pretty good. Like, his putting has actually improved over the last three tournaments. Maybe that's rounding the form. And then I'm back on Doug Gim 125-1 if he's not popular. Like, how fitting would it be? And there's a guy in the industry who continually, he's the Doug Gim guy. Well, I'm the real Doug Gim guy.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy stole
the much more popular friend of ours from north of the border.
Yes. He's the Canadian Doug Gim guy.
Yeah.
And he's finally abandoned him. And how fitting would it be if this is the week Doug Gim wins?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and sometimes that's just how golf is. Like, everybody gives up on you and then you end up winning. So, I'm still a believer in Doug Gim. I didn't like the popularity a couple weeks ago. Now it's been 2 weeks. We don't know. Maybe he fixed the putter. We just don't know. So I'm willing to give that shot at 125-1 with low popularity, low ownership, at still really good ball striking numbers. So those are the five I'm giving out. I'm trying to not commit myself too much so I can live bet. Yeah. Probably Friday, because things are going to be kind of crazy like first couple days. So, yeah, and then I'll... Oh, we didn't talk about matchups at all. How did we skip those?
I don't fucking know.
Oh, all right. All right, we're going to end on matchups.
All right, we'll end on matchups then.
All right.
That's my bet. That's my ADD went. So I went first round leader to the missed cuts, and then my eyes just went left to the top of the page. Like, whatever. It doesn't matter. So matchups, I got Spieth over Answer, -140. And I tried to find some evens and some dogs, man. I feel like... Whatever, man. I feel like I fucking hate paying juice in golf. Like, I fucking hate it. Like, because it's so goddamn erratic, and you had to sweat out a 12 shot lead. Like, you know what I mean? Like, anything.
Unbelievable.
Anything can happen. So the last thing I want to do is fucking pay $175 to win 100. That's the last thing I want to do, unless I have a great feeling about it. And guess what? It's Thursday. I haven't seen how these assholes are playing yet. I'm going to wait to lay that kind of juice over the weekend, where I will happily do it because I'm cocky enough to think I know what they're going to do. So, Berger over JT, even.
Okay.
Billy Ho over Neiman, +130. And then late add Piercy over Rogers, even. Rogers is a fucking nightmare off the box, dude.
I love those pillow fights, by
yeah,
the way.
Dude.
Those are the best.
Yeah, dude. And Rogers is a nightmare off the box. He's long as shit, but he has no idea where it's going. I think he's going to get himself in trouble. Piercy's fine off the box, and he just can't scramble. I'll take Piercy.
Okay. All right. I like those. I'm on a similar vein. I am sticking with my take about JT.
Okay.
And I found Jordan Spieth -110 over him.
Okay.
I feel good about Spieth this week. I mean, even if JT kind of shows up, I think Spieth can still beat him on the leaderboard. Spieth is actually technically the underdog in that matchup. It's a book where it's -115 both ways. It's -110. So, good with that.
Cool.
I took 1.5 strokes of Pat Perez. Like, I thought about just doing the money line +115, but the juice and the taking 1.5 strokes is only -120.
Oh, yeah, I'll take that all day.
Yeah.
All day.
So
give me that. Absolutely.
If it's low juice, I'm getting a stroke and a half over a tournament. I'm taking that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then... just continuing with hedging my foolish Monday bet. I'm fading Charlie Hoffman in the matchup, and I have a feeling Brian Harmon's going to bounce back. And I, one thing I also kind of noticed with this too, Brian Harmon's minus 125 over Hoffman, and I got a feeling people are just going to pound Hoffman on that. Yeah. He's so popular, and like that usually goes poorly. So I went the other way, and I went Harmon minus 125.
All right. I like it.
All right. There you go.
Anything else?
That's it.
All right. Well, listen, D-Gens, you know where to find us.
Oh, actually, no, one more thing.
Okay.
Do we have to chime in on Bryson versus Brooks?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's fine. Yeah, let's do that. That's fine.
All right. What? Okay. So are you team Brooks or team Bryson?
I actually think I'm team Brooks.
You've been trying dunking on him in a Slack channel, though.
Yeah, so here's the deal. That kind of flipped it for me. Like, he was very bitchy about his knee in the crowd and the fucking, like, whatever. Like, I hated that. I fucking hated that. But I don't know. Bryson irritates me for some reason, and you can clearly tell he irritates some other people. And his just Brooks not giving a fuck, and he wants to fight that dude. Like, there's no doubt in my mind, he wants to fight that dude. He definitely does. I don't know. I think Brooks. I don't know. Brooks seems he's a frat douche too. I don't know. I guess I don't like either of them really that much. Like what they've turned into. I'd rather have a beer with fucking Brooks than Bryson. That's how I break it down. All right. Who would I rather have a beer with?
Team yeah, Brooks. That's true. Oh, it's definitely Brooks. I agree with you.
He would make me laugh. Like and he's just I like his don't give a fuck level. Like he cusses. He doesn't care. Like his eye roll at the beginning because he had to give a fucking interview after he just came in second in a major. Like, dude, I do not want to talk about whatever you want to talk about. Whole fucking four, this or that. I'm pretty goddamn upset right now. You know what I mean? And then to top it off, his fucking the guy he hates the most walks by with metal spikes and interrupts the interview. I loved it. It was awesome. Mm-hmm.
All right. So I'm on no team on this one.
Okay.
I don't like both guys here.
Yeah.
So let's start with Bryson.
Okay.
Bryson is, he's the nerd.
Yeah.
Who got muscles, but he has no idea how to talk trash or talk like smack. Like there was an article on ESPN.com about like their feud. And just like Bryson just comes off as just like a total douchebag every time.
Yes.
Like it started off with Brooks called him out for slow play at TBC South when it comes.
Oh, I remember. And he was right. And he's 100% right, by the way.
He's 100% right. Yeah. He's just speaking the truth. Like it's nothing personal, but yeah, you're just slow. And then Bryson takes an exception to it, comes up to his caddy at the putting green. So yeah, you tell your boss you can talk to me. And then guess what? The boss came over and started, you know, chatting at him.
Yeah.
There was the Twitch stream where Bryson was playing Fortnite. And then he starts chatting about, like, Bryson, like, with no abs and everything. And, like what? Why are you picking a fight there? And then Brooks just dunked on him. That was great. I mean, it just seems like every time they've gotten, like, in a sparring match, like, Brooks can just comes over the top. And, So what did Bryson actually say? Did he just say, like, oh, you should start on the right line? Like,
no, he didn't say anything. He said,
I thought that's what they were saying.
Nothing. He literally just walked by with his metal spikes.
Are you sure?
I am 99.9% sure.
Okay.
That it was literally just spikes.
I don't think that's still.
I guess.
I don't think that changed Brooks my take, though. Because now I'm going to shift to Brooks.
Okay.
I understand you don't like the guy. I totally get it. But your reputation is like the strongest mentally fit guy on tour.
Yeah.
And really, all it does is just like a dude you don't like with metal spikes walking by you to put you on tilt.
It's true.
That's not great.
True.
I don't like that.
You couple that with his comments after.
Yeah. I mean, listen, he's still family. I love him. I will still continue to bet him. But again, it's just like continues my little trend of like, I don't really love like some of these things I'm seeing out of Brooks.
Whatever. It's fucking great for golf. Golf. And by the way, did you see PGA fucking scrubbed it and took it down?
You know what? I saw an article where they like embedded the tweet and then it was just like video removed for like copyright.
They scrubbed it. Like, God forbid PGA.
And North Korea PGA Tour.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, it's insane. And somebody put it on Twitter that like Tiger's winning putt had 12 million views in like 48 hours, and this already had like It was almost 10 in 24. Like, yeah. Grow the fucking sport. This is what people want. The same thing with MLB started going after everybody. Like, oh, you can't post this highlight of this awesome catch without permission. Like, just grow the fucking sport. Like, what are you doing? Like, it makes me so upset. Like, it's so dumb. Like, they can't get out of their own fucking way. It's so irritating.
I mean, they scrubbed from the internet when Jon Rahm, like, threw his caddy under the bus at TBC Sawgrass and dropped the F-bomb. So like, that was great television. You could see them talking about the shot, and you're just like, John, what are you doing? This is stupid. And the caddy's like, yeah, this is really stupid. Like, that was really compelling. Yeah. You think maybe you want to promote that? Like, you're all right, dissension in the team. Nope. Take it down.
Yeah, exactly. Every sport needs a great rivalry. Like, fine, if this is going to be Brooks and fucking him for now, fine. And guess what? We'll get more as it goes on, and that's going to be for drama for the Ryder Cup team. How's the U.S. How is poor fucking...
Oh, I'm loving this.
How are they going to manage these fucking egos? Everybody's going to hate each other. It's like the... Oh, it's going to be awesome.
I'm telling you, I know. Listen, you man, say... Once again, I don't, let me finish. I know you say root for the laundry, but I'm going to go down that list of U.S. Ryder Cup guys, and I'm going to say, do you like these guys? And you're like, not really.
Yeah.
And once I'm going to taint your view.
You're not going to do it. I'm telling you right now, it's impossible. Impossible. Like I do not care. Well, you can't make some, if they were really like bad humans, then maybe, but like, whatever, man. Like, I'm rooting for the USA. That's it. That's what happens.
Tell me you're rooting for Patrick Cantlay that week.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Tell me you're rooting for Xander that week.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. You're rooting for, I don't know, JT, if he continues being whiny that week. Yeah,
absolutely. It might be a light betting week for me, but
you're rooting for Daniel Berger that week.
Yeah. Oh, I have no problem with Berger. I've been shat on Berger.
You don't like Berger.
Berger's fine. He's fine.
Okay, fine. All right.
Whatever, motherfuckers. You know where to find me. I'm on Twitter, Boston_Capper. You know where to find Steve, hiding in the Slack channel, dropping knowledge in there. He doesn't want to be part of the cesspool that we call social media. So good on him, bad on us. But yeah, come hit us up, man. Go to Steve's page to read all the articles and get the knowledge on that. And then you can click on the Slack channel and get in there. Yeah, man. So listen, just because it's not a major week doesn't mean there's money not to be made. So let's go break those bucks.